जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, गोपी जना वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी,
जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शतश्री श्रीमद डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी शिल प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल्ड डिवोटीज, ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड गौरंग। नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरम चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 11 texts 16 through 18 and 19, sorry, 19, text 19. Smaratam hridi vinyasya vidham dandaka kandakai svapada pallavam rama आत्मज्योतिरगात्ततः स्मरतां हृदि विन्यस्य विद्धं दण्डककण्टकैः स्वपादपल्लवं राम आत्मज्योतिरगात्ततः स्मरतां हृदि विन्यस्य विद्धं दण्डककण्टकैः
स्वपादपल्लवं राम आत्मज्योतिरगात् ततः स्मरताम हृदि विन्यस्य विद्धं दण्डककण्टकै स्वपादपल्लवं राम ज्योतिरगात्ततः स्मरताम हृदि विन्यस्य विद्धं दण्डककण्टकै स्वपादपल्लवं राम आत्मज्योतिरगात् ततः स्मरताम ऑफ पर्सन्स हु ऑलवेज थिंक ऑफ हिम हृदि इन द कोर ऑफ द हार्ट विन्यस्य प्लेसिंग विद्धं पियर्स्ड Dandaka Kantakaihi by thorns in the forest of Dandakaranya. While Lord Ramachandra was living there, Swapada Pallavam, the petals of his lotus feet, Ramaha, Lord Ramachandra, Atma Jyotihi, the rays of his bodily luster, known as Brahma Jyoti, Agat entered Tataha, beyond the Brahma Jyoti, or in his own Vaikuntha planet. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. After completing the sacrifice, first of all, we don't know what sacrifice. So let me read text 18. After Mother Sita entered the earth, Lord Ramachandra observed complete celibacy and performed an uninterrupted Agnihotra Yajna for 13,000 years. After completing the sacrifice, Lord Ramachandra, whose lotus feet were sometimes pierced by thorns when he lived in Dandakaranya, placed those lotus feet in the hearts of those who always think of him. Then he entered his own abode, the Vaikuntha planet beyond the Brahma Jyoti. Purport. The lotus feet of the Lord are always a subject matter for meditation for devotees. Sometimes, when Lord Ramachandra wandered in the forest of Dandakaranya, thorns pricked his lotus feet. The devotees, upon thinking of this, would faint. The Lord does not feel pain or pleasure from any action or reaction of this material world, but the devotees cannot tolerate even the pricking of the Lord's lotus feet by a thorn. This was the attitude of the gopis when they thought of Krishna wandering in the forest with pebbles and grains of sand pricking his lotus feet. This tribulation in the heart of a devotee cannot be understood by karmis, jnanis or yogis. The devotees who could not tolerate even thinking of the Lord's lotus feet being pricked by a thorn were again put into tribulation by thinking of the Lord's disappearance For the Lord had to return to his abode after finishing his pastimes in this material world. The word Atma Jyoti is significant. The Brahma Jyoti, which is greatly appreciated by jnanis or monist philosophers who desire to enter it for liberation, is nothing but the rays of the Lord's body. Yasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti shu ashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govinda madhipurusham tamaham bhajami. Quote, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences and millions of universes. Brahma Samhita 5:40. The Brahma Jyoti is the beginning of the spiritual world, and beyond the Brahma Jyoti are the Vaikuntha planets. In other words, the Brahma Jyoti stays outside the Vaikuntha planets, just as the sunshine stays outside the sun. To enter the sun planet, one must go through the sunshine. Similarly, when the Lord or his devotees enter the Vaikuntha planets, they go through the Brahma Jyoti. The jnanis or monist philosophers, because of their impersonal conception of the Lord, cannot enter the Vaikuntha planets. But they also cannot stay eternally in the Brahma Jyoti. Thus, after some time, they fall again into this material world. Aruhya krucharena param padam tatha patanti adho anadrita yushmad angrayaha. Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 2nd chapter, verse 32. The Vaikuntha planets are covered by Brahma Jyoti, and therefore one cannot properly understand what those Vaikuntha planets are unless one is a pure devotee. Om Ajnana Tamirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Adi Gaura Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I have a request. I don't know how you guys can breathe. But the windows are not open, right? I cannot breathe without some air moving. Sorry. So Bhagavatam has a summary of Ramayana. The Bhagavatam itself is 18,000 shlokas divided into 12 cantos. The Ramayana is 24,000 shlokas in 6 or 7 cantos. And of these, the Aranyakanda is considered one of the longest ones, or the longer ones, if you will. Balakanda is short. Shukadev Goswami is telling Parikshit Maharaj, you've heard Ramayana many, many times. So I'm going to just narrate the significant incidences. And that's why we don't hear many of the details. So, in the previous verses, it's described that Sri Ramachandra sent his pregnant wife, Sita Devi, away to Valmiki's ashram without any explanation. He didn't say. All he told was, Lakshmana will take you somewhere. In fact, he told Lakshmana, take Sita. and leave her in Valmiki's ashram. So all along, while they were traveling from Ayodhya to Valmiki's ashram in Dandaka forest, she did not know where she was going. She did not know that she has a one-way ticket. So this is one of the reasons a lot of people have difficulty with Lord Ram's pastimes. If they look at everything else, they're fine. But when it comes to the way he treats Sita Devi, they have a problem. They have a problem that he treated her very unjustly. That for any one of us, right, if any one of us was asked today, was that the right thing to do? Perhaps we'll have an obvious answer. Of course not. Would you do that to, if you're married to the, would you do that to your wife? Would you allow your friend to do that to your wife? No. Then how is it okay? Do we allow women to be treated like that? Especially when we hear from the Lord Himself that the whole of the Kaurava dynasty was finished simply for, what does the verse in the Bhagavatam say? Simply for spoiling the hair of Draupadi. You know this pastime, right? So Draupadi was dragged into the assembly, and not one man was man enough to object, to protest. And these are not men like us who really are not strong or chivalrous. These are Bhishma, Dronacharya, Krupacharya, great generals. They're men of, you know, the real meaning of men. They will stand up and fight for anything. But when Draupadi was being disrobed and insulted, very, very badly insulted, not one of them said anything. So it's a very complex set of internal clash of feelings that's hard to describe. But there is some hint of it here and there as to why they are like that. And I'll share a little bit. Recently, I was in my godbrother's home in San Diego, a very beautiful family. I really fell in love with their boys. They're such wonderful kids. And one evening we had some discussion, and a topic like this came up. So I tried to explain to the extent of my own understanding, because we can't say, I don't think I can say, that I fully understand Lord Ramachandra's behavior. Why I cannot understand? Because one, I don't have the kind of love he had for Sita Devi. I don't even possess. Not just for my wife, I just possess for anyone. Perhaps not even for myself. The kind of course he's the Supreme Lord, so I can't compare any one of us to him, but for the moment, if we consider him as, you know, in the previous verses, compared to a normal or ordinary human being, where Shukadeva Goswami says, you see, wherever there is affection between man and woman, the man cries. He says, wherever, here, text number 16, is it? Yeah, 17. The attraction between man and woman, male or female, always exists everywhere, making everyone always fearful. Such feelings are present even among the controllers like Brahma and Lord Shiva, and is the cause of fear for them, what to speak of others who are attached to household life in this material world. He's not hinting at Lord Ram particularly, but he's showing the principle that even Lord Ram was crying. He says he could not check his grief. Na asakrod rodhum Ishwaraha. Asakrot means was able to, and Rodhum means to stop. Lord Ram could not stop, could not check his emotions when Sita Devi left. So one may ask, hey, what is this? He could check his emotions when he sent her away, but he couldn't check his emotions when she left him? Whoa, come on. Doesn't sound right. Does it sound right to you? Doesn't sound right to me. That's what people will say. So this is a very complex emotion, if you will. So here's one tiny explanation of it. Not necessarily the complete explanation, but we cannot understand, or I cannot understand, because one, the Lord is considered transcendental. So what is happening in the Lord's heart is impossible to fathom. So we rely on acharyas and we rely on the great pure devotees to express. And we can only understand someone's emotion when it is within the range of our own experience. If someone, let's say, is hitting a nail in the wall and they smash their finger with the hammer, we'll say, I know it's very painful. Why? Because there is an instance somewhere where we have smashed our finger with a hammer. We have an idea. Someone has a loss of a family member, we say, I understand, because somewhere we've lost some family member. But the way Lord Ram's pastimes are, we cannot say, I understand fully either. So, we find that in any circumstance, we are honest with ourselves, or we're in integrity with our feelings when we act in when we act according to the values that we have, right? And that's usually what we do. We have a certain value that we hold close to our heart and we always want to act on that value. For example, let's say honesty is a value. So under all circumstances, it moves us such a way that we want to act with honesty. And if there is something that is dishonest that we are asked to do, or that the urge is to do something dishonest, we will sacrifice whatever is the outcome for the sake of that value. For a person who has a strong character, of course. Right? Or if there is a value of non-violence, then up to a point, or to whatever point, one will continue to be non-violent. Because that's the value they hold very closely to their heart. For all ordinary human beings, like me or like us, there is a point beyond which we may not hold on to that value. And that point is where our own survival or life comes to risk. For example, in terms of telling the truth, if someone comes to attack us or someone we love, and they say, where is this person? Even if the person is in the next room, we will not say, I'm a very truthful person, they're in the next room. We will not say. For two reasons. One, because the life of another person is very valuable. And so the Shastra allows us that little margin where we may tread into the side of what we call dishonesty. But second of all, for the more commoners like us, that value stops having value when it is something very personal. Make sense? So whenever our life is at risk, or the lives of someone very dear to us is at very much risk, our value system sort of finds its limit. You take Bhishma, Dronacharya, and these persons. when Draupadi was being disrobed, their internal value system said, stop this nonsense. Right? But they didn't. Because at that point, this is my, I guess, recent understanding, I haven't fully developed it, but at that point, the value of, you know, whatever the value is of protecting Draupadi clashed with the value of duty that they have. Now, our understanding of sense of duty is very limited. We don't know what sense of duty means to its fullest extent. We have some good understanding. Some of us, or many of us, or perhaps all of us, are quite dutiful. Because we hear from it from Bhagavatam, we see our acharyas, we see the members in history, how for the sake of duty, they will sacrifice their own personal values. Because commoners like us cannot sacrifice those values. It creates a major clash in us. But when it comes to duty, and that's signified by Yudhishthir Maharaj, for example, right? In the Mahabharata war, he was told, speak a lie. Ashwatthama iti kunjara hataha. He was supposed to say Ashwatthama hataha. That Ashwatthama has been killed. And of all the persons on the battlefield, how many were there on the Pandava side? How many Akshauhinis? 7 Akshauhinis. Out of 7 Akshauhini of people, who was chosen to speak a lie? That person who never spoke a lie in his entire life, and that person who will give up his life instead of speaking a lie. And Krishna, the super tricky personality, chose Yudhishthir Maharaj. You should say. Because when you say, everyone will believe, especially Dronacharya. Anyone else will say, he will say, I'm not sure. So at that point, Yudhishthir Maharaj had a massive, massive clash between his own value and the duty he's being asked to perform. And he hesitated. Because it is Yudhishthir Maharaj, he hesitated. It shows what happens at that point of clash. So many of us will hold on to our value system because it's important. Because if we don't have a value system, what are we surviving on? Right? We our whole character shatters in front of us. Now imagine, so now we're going to the other side. Imagine what's going on, if we can, inside Bhishma Deva's, Dronacharya's heart when Draupadi is being insulted. But on the one hand, Bhishma Dev could have lifted his bow and arrow and killed Duryodhana like this, chopped off his head in like 1 nanosecond. It's possible. He had the power to do, and he wouldn't be wrong. He was the grandfather plus the general. But he is also obliged by duty to protect that kingdom. Now one may say, is the value of kingdom more important than Draupadi's? You have to understand in a broader context what it means, that the value of duty. It's a very, very high value. In fact, for Bhishma Deva, it is such a high value that he fought with his own guru for it. Right? When he said, I will remain a brahmachari, and he didn't take a vow of brahmachari because he'd like to be a brahmachari. He took a vow because that vow is going to protect that kingdom. For the kingdom to continue, right? Because if he did not promise his father, Shantanu, Shantanu would not be married to Satyavati. And without being married to Satyavati, the king wouldn't be happy to keep the kingdom going on. So it's a complex emotional story. But he did, and he gave a promise, I will always, always protect this kingdom. Therefore, in the Mahabharata war, although this is Ramayana, we've moved to Mahabharata, I'm trying to explain a principle, if you will. So in Mahabharata war, just when we've heard that conches were blown. Duryodhana's heart was shattered when Krishna blew the, what's his conch name? Panchajanya. Arjuna blew. Bhakti Shastri student. Arjuna's conch shell is called? Okay. Devadatta. Manipushpaka. They're all the Pandavas and their conches. Okay. So the war had been declared, ready, open. Then Arjuna has his problem. The Bhagavad Gita is spoken. But what happened after that? How did the war start? Before they all started shooting arrows at each other, Yudhishthira Maharaj gets off the chariot and walks towards Bhishma Dev. With folded hands, he offers him respect, bows down, and he says, "Can you please tell me how I can kill you or defeat you in this battle?" And Bhishma Deva says, "I'm very glad you came to offer your respect, because if you didn't, I would have killed you in the next 5 minutes. This is the right way. You've offered your respect. That's proper. And I cannot be killed in the battlefield. There is no way." And he says to him, that only if I give up my life, that's how it will happen. Because he has that blessing from his father. You will not die till you decide you want to. You want to. And he explains to Yudhishthira Maharaj why he did not leave the side of Duryodhana. But he says it in one phrase, which has, for Yudhishthira Maharaj, you don't need a lot of explanation. One phrase will be enough. Like Vedanta Sutra, Atatu Brahma Jigyasa, and everyone understands. But for people like us, Vyasadeva has to write 18,000 verses to explain Atatu Brahma Jigyasa or Janmadhyasayataha, right? Pithi phrases are enough for those great persons. So Bhishma Deva says, "Arthasya Purushodasa," that I'm obliged by duty of being on this side. That's why in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, Prabhupada writes, they were financially obliged. Which is true, they're obliged. Because the financial obligation is, the kingdom has taken care of me and I'm a loyal servant of the kingdom, of that throne. And I will always protect that throne. However horrible the fellow sitting on it is, what to do? I don't like it, but that's the sense of duty. So then Yudhishthira Maharaj goes to Dronacharya, folds his hands and asks him, "How can I defeat you in this battlefield?" Because how can he defeat his own teacher? It's not possible. If he knows anything, it's because of him. So Dronacharya says, "As long as Ashwatthama is okay on the battlefield, no one can defeat me." So, and he uses the phrase, they also explaining to him why he's on this side, and he says, "Arthasya Purusho Dasa," I'm also obliged the kingdom. So we have to check these person's character. When you check Bhishma Dev, you check Dronacharya, isn't it in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada writes, Dronacharya is the highest kind of Brahman because he taught Drishtadyumna the warfare, art of warfare, although he knew that Drishtadyumna was born for only one purpose. And that one purpose was to kill Dronacharya. So I say, foolish Brahman. Really? It's not foolishness. It's the sense of duty, which is a very, very high character trait. It's like the eagle soaring at some height and a sparrow trying to figure out what does flying mean. Cannot tell. Cannot understand. We may also be dutiful. There are many persons who are very dutiful. But having a sense of duty at that level. So Bhishma Dev did not speak. Dronacharya did not speak, did not protest, although internally they were feeling like crushing Duryodhana's head. Somewhat similar is Lord Ramachandra's act. That's from a duty perspective. the duty that the king should never should be free of any taint. Although there was no taint, no one felt there was a taint. Only one foolish washerman felt. But for the Lord Ramchandra's character, it was such that he felt even that's not good enough. So that's one. Second is that the Lord, in all of his pastimes, especially in Lord Ramachandra and Krishna's pastimes, the Lord has to enjoy what we call vipralambha, the ecstasy in separation. This is a main characteristic trait of Lord Ramachandra and Krishna's pastimes. You see any of Krishna's pastime, you see any of Lord Ramachandra's pastime, he's constantly experiencing the ecstasy of separation in the different rasas. When you take to Shanta rasa, the rasa of, Prabhupada calls it admiration. In Shanta rasa, there is separation, although not that degree, because it is Shanta, it's neutrality. The entire city of Ayodhya, the birds, the animals of Ayodhya felt the separation of Lord Ram when he was walking into Dandaka forest. Then you take after Sakas Dasya Ras, all the servants, and eternally Hanuman, who's still there in a place called Kimpurusha Loka, is separated from Lord Ramachandra. Even now. So this is separation or service in separation at servitor level. Sakya in friendship. Bharata and Shatrughna experienced 14 years of separation from Lord Ramachandra. Then parental separation. Of course we know Dasaratha, Kausalya, even Kaikeyi, Sumitra, they all experienced separation from Lord Ram. Then in the Shringara level, also he has to experience it. So that is manifest through this way of separation. That twice he experiences that. Once when Ravana steals Sita away. So for 1 year, he was very much separated. But the ecstasy of separation is such that now for 13,000 years, he is in this, we call it ecstasy or pain of separation. But this is where there is a hint of the kind of love he has for Sita Devi. He could have easily married another 1,000 queens if he wanted to. But there was no one who replaced Sita for him. And no one would ever. And then when he understood that Sita Devi has wound up her pastimes and gone back to Vaikuntha, the intensity of separation increased even more. And that's the verse today. That after 13,000 years of performing Agnihotra Yajna, now why is he doing Agnihotra Yajna? First of all, it is Treta Yuga. That's what they do. And second of all, he continued his duty, although deep down, his own heart is shattered. But he never, even once, strayed an atom away from being the perfect king. He never let his entire citizenry feel that something was wrong in the kingdom. Therefore, Lord Ramachandra's rule is called Ramarajya. There cannot be anything as good as Lord Ramachandra's ruling. Although internally, he is completely shattered for 13,000 years. And then it says, time came for him to go back to his Vaikuntha planet and be united with his consort. So he did something. He placed his lotus feet forever in the hearts of those who have great affection for him. Says Smaratam Hridi Vinyasya. So that heart, placing his lotus feet in the heart, means he gave all those devotees who were also suffering to see Lord Ram go through suffering. Their hearts were in great pain. So he removed that pain of their heart. What was the pain in the heart? Every time they would think of the fact that Lord Ram had to walk in Dandaka forest and that thorns would prick his feet. It was very painful to think of that, because Lord Ram lived in the highest levels of aristocracy, on floors that were shining marble, that was clean. He only sat on silk, beds that were made with cotton that was like foam, so soft, on bed sheets that were made of the highest quality silk with gold filigree, ate in golden plates, the finest, richest organic food that came from not Whole Foods, with thousands of servants. You know how Lord Ram was woken up every day? How does our alarm ring? Some noise it makes. Because if it is some sweet kirtan, we won't wake up. So it has to be some horrible sound. Something. Lord Ram used to have even Dasarath was woken up like that. Ballads would come and they would stand there and they would bring their instruments and play music softly and gently and then sing the glories of Dasarath Maharaj and all his ancestors. And he would wake up hearing the call for, wow, what great ancestors I have, what wonderful duty I have, and they would glorify his qualities of his Dasaratha, is this one, is that one. Wow. To wake up to that. We have to be woken up. Oh, please wake up. Oh, devotee of Krishna, please rise. You're so amazing. Without you, those services will not be finished. Kindly wake up. And we say, 5 more minutes. Keep singing. It's nice to hear it. So he's woken up like that. And for a person, overnight, Ramayana describes that he applied wax or a sap from the banyan tree to his hair and tied it as a big knot, so it can become what's called matted easily. So he had gel, natural gel from the banyan tree, and into a nice, removed all his jewels, all the beautiful yellow silken cloth, and put around him tree bark. You know how tree bark is? It's dry and it's itchy. You can't sit. It's very uncomfortable. I can only imagine. I've never worn tree bark. Hopefully shall never. I'll become a tree. I know for sure. But yeah, then I'll be wearing bark. But he wore tree bark. And bare feet, started walking into the forest. Can you imagine a person overnight from such levels of aristocracy, plus he's the Supreme Lord, walking in the forest, who had never placed his foot on anything that was hard. He was pampered like anything. And now he has to walk in the forest, not for half an hour, but for 14 years, without any royal entourage, without any facilities. And he vowed, I will only eat no cooked food. I will only eat the berries and roots that I find. That's it, for 14 years. And drink the crystal clear waters of the rivers. So when devotees, Prabhupada writes, devotees who have feelings for the Lord, when they think of this, it's very, very painful. They feel pierced or pricked by thorns. The Lord Ram had to set his foot on ground of the Dandaka forest where there were thorns. Vidham Dandaka Kantakai. Kantaka means thorn. Swapada Pallavam Rama. So those lotus feet that they are constantly meditating on and feeling, oh, how painful it must be for him, he placed those lotus feet in their heart forever and left. So this is the pain of serving the Lord in one sense. When devotees, when we think of, I shouldn't say we, when pure devotees think of inconvenience for the Lord, it's very difficult for them to bear. So there are many wonderful pastimes of Srila Prabhupada, who was somehow attuned to knowing that the deity was being inconvenienced. In the memories of Srila Prabhupada, I like this one very much. There are many like that stories, but this one I like. It's narrated by Sachinandan Swami. I've said it many times in the past here. I'll say it again. He was a young brahmachari. He had just left his girlfriend, and she was constantly on his case to come back. So he was thinking, should I go back? He was young. He was 17 or 18, very young. And he was thinking, should I go back to her? Or should I stay and serve Prabhupada? Should I go back? You know, it's called mental platform. And his service was to wash the deity plates. So while he's washing the plate, you know, spaced out, should I go to her? So anyway, he was not doing his service properly. So there was always some food particles left on the plate. So here is this doubt. Okay, I will give my life to Srila Prabhupada. I understand that he's a pure devotee. I know that. But some way, if I'm convinced that he's pure devotee and he has this strong connection with Krishna, I'll give my life to Prabhupada. So Prabhupada visited Germany. I had just landed, came from the airport, paid his obeisances, came in front of the deities, stood like that in front of the deities, turned to his secretary and said, who's washing their plates? So he said, such and such, bhakta or whatever. So Prabhupada said, please tell him that Krishna is complaining that the plates are not being washed properly. There is food left behind, needs to scrub properly. So the message went. And he was just thrilled. Wow! Krishna speaking to him? Done. I've decided what I'm going to do. I'm going to surrender my life to Prabhupada. So those inconveniences, Prabhupada knew. It was difficult. Therefore, many times Prabhupada said, I'm establishing all these temples. And he used the phrase, Shri Vigrahara Dhana Nityanana. Shri Vigrahara Aradhana. Vigraha Aradhana Nitya. That the spiritual master is pleased when the deity is served nicely every day. And Prabhupada said, once I leave, then Shri Vigraha will become Galagraha. Galagraha means, not this, but weight around the neck. So heavy that I have to serve the deities. I have to clean now. I have to do arati now. That's called Galagraha. That the inconvenience of the deity is not so important. My inconvenience is more important now. Or something's not right. It's okay. It's not okay. Or ideally for the devotees of this caliber, it's not okay. They want to make sure that the deity is not in any inconvenience. That's why you'll find that for the deity or for one's own guru, persons will go to whatever extent of inconvenience just for the convenience of the guru. So I heard it many years ago that I liked. That the disciple is constantly striving to make the spiritual master's body comfortable and convenient. Although he's not the body, but that's the duty of the disciple, to make everything convenient and comfortable for the guru and body. And the guru is constantly striving to make the soul of the disciple comfortable and convenient, not the body. That's the reciprocity. Well, therefore, all the conveniences and comforts are given. Even in Ramanujacharya's pastimes, or we find any
pastime. Oh, here's a beautiful pastime. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an assistant by the name Govinda. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in the Gambhira, the little room right outside Jagannath Puri temple, not far from it. There's a room, Gambhira. There's only one door. Because multiple doors means Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would escape from it. So there was only one door. And they would lock him in every night. And they would stand guard outside, just in case he would escape. Because of these ecstatic raptures, he would run away. And they would not know where to find him. So they would stand guard. But next morning he would not be inside. They don't know how he went away. So one day his servant Govinda, after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lunch, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying down right next to the threshold of the room. So generally it is said that you don't cross over someone who's superior. You only cross over a dead body, not a live person. When I was young, at my home, they would be so particular. If by mistake I would cross over my mother, like they should say, oh, bring something from there, I would cross her. Hey, foolish fellow. Go around. You cannot walk over someone like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was resting and Govinda's service was to massage his lotus feet. So Govinda crossed over Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and started massaging his lotus feet. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would take rest for an hour or whatever. And this day, he took rest longer, a few hours. So Govinda was continuously pressing his feet. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu awoke and said, hey Govinda, did you have prasadam? Because after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they would eat. He said, no my lord, I did not eat yet. Why? He said, you're lying down across the door. How can I cross you and go? It's not proper. So he asked him, how did you come in? I crossed over. He said, if you can cross over to come in, why can't you cross over to go? He said, I crossed over to come in for my service. But to cross over and go out is for my sense gratification. I cannot do that. To go to any extent, to make the gurus, for the gurus and the deities, comfort. It's important. So these personalities, they when they think of the inconvenience, it's very difficult for them. So Lord Ram assures them, everything's okay. And then he leaves. And how does he leave? He says, Atma Jyotir Agat Tataha. Thereafter, Atma Jyoti. So he went back to that Vaikuntha planet that is beyond the Brahma Jyoti. So when we look at the sun, we should not be, but when we look at the sun, we see only sunshine. The actual globe is very densely covered by sunshine. So we cannot see what's beyond that sunshine. But if we follow a sun ray all the way, we'll go to the sun planet. If in this body we try, first of all, we cannot stand on sunshine. But if we try, then we'll be burnt or incinerated. But the yogis can. On a ray of sunlight, they can travel back to the sun planet. But we cannot see the characteristics of the sun planet because of the effulgence. It's a big ball of fire. But there are entities living there. How are they living? They're a fire-resistant body. So what's beyond Brahma Jyoti cannot be known unless that effulgence has been removed. Somewhere in Bhakti Shastri books, there is a reference to remove that effulgence. Do you know where? Sri Ishopanishad, text number 15. He knows the verse too. Hiranyamayena patrena satyasya pihitam mukham tatvam pushan apavrunu
satya dharmaya drishyate. Oh my dear Lord, please remove this dazzling effulgence so I might see your beautiful face. So unless the glare of Brahma Jyoti is removed, we don't know what lies beyond this realm. And that is removed by the mercy of the Lord. So Prabhupada writes, as far as jnanis and yogis, they're trying to find it on their own, and that's why they cannot go beyond the Brahma Jyoti. Now they can't stay in the Brahma Jyoti eternally either, because you cannot be hanging forever in no place. So they will come down back to this material world, and they will engage in very high grade goodness activities. Opening schools, hospitals. They will get into social activities such as sometimes politics. So in India you see a lot of the so-called godmen have some strong political connections. They may start off with genuinely wanting to do something for society. But that kind of social work is a fall from the spiritual platform. Because without a spiritual core or center, the social work that one does is very limited in what it can do. It can help in a way, sure, no doubt. And we need people like that. But if one is considered spiritual, or a person is considered spiritual, then it behooves them to do something beyond the body. But since they don't know what lies beyond that except Brahman, their activities are on the, although supposedly Brahman, it comes down to goodness. Because in mode of goodness and Brahman are not that different. Right? Because if you look at the list of qualities of mode of goodness, it's very much like spiritual. Knowledge, enlightened by knowledge, by happiness, clean, austere, healthy. These are all, sounds like Brahman, but it's not. So Prabhupada uses the phrase, Aruhya Kruchrena Param Padam Patanti. They fall from that position. Because they have no conception of service to Krishna, who's beyond the Brahma Jyoti. So Lord Ram returned to his planet. And not only one, two or hundred, all the devotees felt separation and feel separation from him. Any comments, questions, objections? Jitendra Prabhu.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Hare Hare. Yes. I was thinking of these welfare activities that are performed in human society, and then I remember Satsvarup Maharaj had in his book, he said, we wouldn't need all these things if, for instance, like, you know, drug rehabilitation, family abuse, you know, all these different things, remedial things that are kind of like a band-aid for the real problem is that people are, you know, they're disconnected, their man is situated according right. to their knowledge. And I was thinking of, I think it was Bhima Das was telling me in Bombay that, it was in Calcutta that the Mother Teresa would send the people that when they ran out of food, they send them over to the Hare Krishna temple. When they didn't have enough meat to feed the people, they would send them over to the Hare Krishna temple to get maybe in her mind, inferior food or something like that. But I don't know, did you ever hear about that? Yeah, so we wouldn't need all these, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and all these different programs if people would just simply take to Krishna consciousness.
So all these band-aid methods are, if someone has an alcohol problem, they address the alcohol problem. If they have a smoking issue, they address the smoking issue. But none of them can understand what's the core issue that is behind all of this.
Yes.
And that's the disconnection. So isn't that in Ishopanishad? Prabhupada writes, all infinite, complete wholes have a sense of incompleteness because of their disconnection from the complete whole.
Yeah. I also heard it described as putting a Band-Aid on a bullet hole. You know, it's really insignificant. Thank you.
Kiridhari, you had something?
Yeah. I'm wondering how we develop more of a sense of duty, how to improve that.
How to improve the sense of duty? There's a usual, I should say usual by, it seems to diminish it, but the understanding is, if there is any quality that we want to develop, then we're supposed to serve the person or persons who has or have that quality. That is the way qualities are transmitted from one person to another, through service. Therefore we sing, praptasya kalyana gunaranavasya, praptasya kalyana guna Arnavasya. Krishna is considered the ocean of all wonderful qualities. And the Guru is the medium through which those qualities are transmitted. Because there's no one who has that kind of qualities other than Krishna. So Krishna's sense of duty reflects through his devotees. So we find his devotees very dutiful. Even at the cost of their own convenience, reputation, whatever it is, insult, they're insulted, they're admonished, blah, blah, blah. But their sense of duty to continue is very, very high. You know, for persons like me, let's say, if it gets uncomfortable at some point, I will walk away. Because like, what's the point? But there are persons who will continue. And that's where, you know, it's like unfathomable. Why do you have to do that? Why is it necessary? Look at all the, you know, arrows that are being thrown at this person. Why continue? The sense of duty is very, very, very high. In fact, it is so high that it starts entering into the realm of irrationality for us. That's so irrational. Why? So here, Lord Ram sent Sita to the forest. So irrational. Why? That's why. It's irrational means it's outside our ability to explain it or understand it. That's what irrationality is, right? We say a person is irrational when our ability to say or explain is too high. When our ability to explain that behavior goes away, it becomes irrational. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu scratching his body, scratching the floor with his fingernails every night. It's not this kind of floor. I mean, I can scratch this floor. Or nice granite. You've seen the floor in India, it's this stone floor. And there is dirt between, and scratching the whole night. Irrational behavior. Irrational because we cannot explain. Prabhupada would say, people would ask, what is it that Swamiji is doing to you that you are living so irrationally? Right? That's why people tell us, why can't you be normal? Haven't you heard from your parents? I've heard it. Why can't you be normal? normally irrational. What is this? But that's it. Because they can't explain, it becomes irrational. But you ask a devotee, they will be fully easy to explain, right? I eat only what is offered to Krishna. Why irrational? Come on, how can you survive? That's the sense of duty. It's difficult to explain. But those personalities who have it, when we serve them, we think of them, we meditate on them, we pray to them, and we try to emulate them. Not in the same way, we can't, but in the principle of I need to be dutiful. When we try that, then we get little mustard seeds worth of the same quality. Any quality. So praptasya kalyana gunarnavasya vande guroshi charanara vindam. Naveen, you had something? Does that answer for you, Giridhari?
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the nice class, bro. I was inspired. So, there is one commentary written by Srila Madhvacharya, like why he banishes Sita into the forest. It's like a surprise thing, like when Ram and Lakshman, Sita goes to the forest, they were banished, and everybody start protesting, please don't go. And at the same time, when Sita is going to the forest, then nobody protested. It's unfair. It's
Nobody knew.
That's one of the things. And one commentary he wrote, Srila Madhvacharya writes that, like there was a demon called Suranakha. It's not Surpanakha, Suranakha.
Okay.
So the demon is a little bit intelligent. So as usual, it prays for, then it did tapasya for many, many years. And Brahma came and asked for the bone. Then Brahma, he got also a little bit surprised. He was saying that, see, I will do all nonsense things, I will kill all the people who are following religious, but only time I should not be get liberation when Lord is separated from his energy. It's never been that, like that, Ram and Sita, Krishna and Radharani, never been separated. Only on that condition I should not get the liberation. So this was a condition of that demon Suranakha. So to kill that demon, Ram has to banish Sita. Then only the demon can be killed. So this is one of the nice commentary written by Srila Madhvacharya.
Wow.
So when Sita was separated, banned into the forest, so at that time Lord Ram kills the demon Suranakha.
Thank you. Thank you for enlightening. You have something, Jitendra Prabhu?
I was just thinking that a few times, you know, you hear people ask devotees, what's in it for you? I mean, well,
yeah,
you know, we're doing it for Krishna, but they can't understand that, you know. What's in it for you? I mean, you know, it's beyond their comprehension. And then I remember a few years ago, there was John Mastami, and there was people were fighting over parking in front of the temple, you know. They're going blankety blank, you blank, you know, and I think, wow, they're coming to the temple and they're just fighting over the parking like anything, you know. And there were Indian people too, so I was kind of taken back, you know. I mean, Westerners, you can understand, but you know. But anyways, that's something.
Only skin color is different, heart's the same. Okay, thank you very much. If there's nothing else, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.